11 years ago, I started an NGO called the Whitaker Peace and Development Initiative. We've been working here with the staff to build a program which is about ending conflict and pre-raising development in the communities. And so I got a chance to come and see how things have been progressing and see how stakes have been going. I go to our different types of projects. We launched a Peaceful Sports program the other day. I went in and visited some of our TOTs, trainers of trainers that are our adversaries in the community. So just basically taking stake in how things are progressing and making sure everything is online.
Okay. You were last year, a few years ago, 3 years, 4 years, 2019.
Yeah, it was...
What progress have you witnessed?
Well, this progress, I mean, they were working on different aspects of it when I was here before. It's just different people. Some greater, you know, not a usage of community dialogues that have been going on, which has been really helpful. There's some more people participating in the conflict resolution education component of the project. It's just been growing and also really affecting the communities, trying to mediate between them, you know, these dialogues to help bring peace to the community.
Okay. Dago David, you managing the whole project here in South Sudan, how has it been for you?
It's been quite good and challenging as well, but we love the challenge. So far, so good. I think that with the model that we have, which is the Youth Peacemaker Network, and the approach you adopt by working with young people within their localities, we've been able to attain a tremendous success with our work in terms of building local capacities through this youth to be able to implement the vision of our founder, which is youth empowerment, and through this they can be able to develop their communities through the different work that we're doing. We use peace building and conflict resolution, as well as business and entrepreneurship as our avenue, as our entrance to the community with our work. And this, the young people are able to use the skills and the knowledge they get to be able to implement various community development activities, ranging from convening community dialogue, as Forrest alluded to earlier, as well as setting up a local income generating initiative to be able to revive their local markets and regenerate the communities, especially with the returns of people and also with several displacements that are happening. So the work of these people, of these young people that we work with, are important to anchor communities to be able to still have semblance of services and semblance of activities that are driven by them locally.
Okay, Mr. Whitaker, young people, why the focus on young people?
I mean, they have their feet in today and feet into tomorrow, because they're going to be the ones that shape the future of the planet. I think they are able to have a more open point of view as to what we're trying to do and what the opportunities that can be made from it themselves. I think I've noticed a sense of empowerment and strength with people who've taken the walk through the program, to be able to express themselves and actually to feel creative and like there is an opportunity for them. And I think that life or an opportunity is really important. And the youth are able to carry that really strongly, I think.
Okay. He just mentioned an aspect of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
How is that linked to peace building?
Because you can't have peace without development, you know. You can't. They kind of interlock within each other. People are basically at conflict because of unmet needs, things that they would like to have in their life. Sometimes we're just talking about primal needs, such as food, water, and a home. So there.
Okay. All right. I mean, I just want to get a little bit of background here.
Okay.
You've talked about these needs. Is this part of the inspiration for the initiative? What inspired you from the start to start this initiative in 2012?
Well, initially I was in Uganda and I met with some child soldiers there. And I've told this story before. I was a look in their eyes that reminded me of when I was a kid with the gangs in my community. And so I decided that I wanted to try to do something about it. try to be a participant, not an observer. And so started the first work. And the first work I was doing was just building wells, putting up libraries. But I wanted to go deeper and to see if the opportunities could actually manifest. And I got this idea about these four pillars that I thought would make the organization work, make this work. And we decided to start off. We started off very small, 20-some-odd people, youths, men and women, almost 50% ratio. And here we are today.
You mentioned your community having gangs. Could you briefly just touch on that? What was the experience?
Well, I mean, I grew up in South Central LA, and the Crips and the Bloods, which are pretty organized gangs at this point, were first giving birth to themselves. So the first sort of reporting of like being shots and seeing them on the streets and controlling what color you would wear. Because there was like, in a way, there's like flags. They were red and they were blue. The Bloods were red and the Crips were blue. And so you started to get used to like a different way of looking at your tapestry of life, you know. Walking down the street, people were being harmed, drive-by shootings, different things of that nature, and from where I was growing up. And I just happened to have relatives that were in the gangs, and I understood the nature of it. Yeah.
And in the context of South Sudan?
I think I could add that, just supplementing the, we think that, as you have heard from him, the experience is almost cross-cutting. Mm-hmm. When you look at South Sudan right now, there's now this phenomenon of gangs also building among the young people, especially in the communities. They give themselves different names. And this has resulted in a phenomenon in which these gangs have become hubs of deviant behaviors or acts like drinking, actually, and also violence. We see in different neighborhoods here where sometimes young people drink, cut themselves machetes and make life very hard for those that just want to get by. And WPDI is working with these young people to try to see to it that this is not something that will be helpful for themselves, but if they can be transformed in a different way, they can be able to become more productive. I think the experience for us is talking about that he experienced growing up is the same thing many young people are facing here in the country as well. And we think that this is a similar thing which drove his vision, and this is the vision now we're trying to see to it that it's realized here, that young people are empowered to be able to become better members and productive members of the society.
All right. Just getting your last message for the young people, the leaders, what do you have to say to them?
I think that they can look towards working together. I think it's quite important that they form some form of a network. I think we're talking about identity, like when we're talking about the gangs and stuff. We're talking about identity, people feeling like they have a place to go, you know, they have family, many don't. So then that's causes some of the other problems that we were discussing. So now these same groups of kids can find a place to go where they can have some form of identity and where they can be using different skills. Because, you know, you can blame the gangs, like I could blame my cousin for whatever he did, but that's the opportunities that he saw. That was the only models that he knew. And that was what he wanted to feel a part of. And I think the people who are working today have to like find themselves, first center themselves, but find themselves the others who also have the same attitude towards building peace, so they can feel stronger and build a stronger sense of identity. The peace building and peace builders, youth peace builders, they have a sense of identity. As a result, they're able to go into some of these town hall meetings and discussions or community dialogues in a different way, because they're standing for a purpose, a reason. You know?
And to the leaders, we're looking at government as well.
Well, different leaders. I mean, I think that the clearest thing is that they all have a combined purpose. I think purpose is really important, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to affect, and communicate that to the others, and in our case, to the youths, because this country is, 70% youths, you know, which is the majority of the population. So certainly the leaders have to find a way to communicate to them to make sure that the future is one of positivity, because these youth are not only going to be, as you're feeling them today, in positive ways or negative ways, but they're also going to be here tomorrow doing the same thing they've learned today. We have to make sure that what they have the opportunity is to learn some positive ways to cope with life, some positive ways to move things forward.
All right. Now, just on a light note, on a very light note, South Sudan, I mean, you've been here several times. What are your impressions? What do you like about South Sudan? Off work, really.
I think the spirit of the people is one. I think it's beautiful landscape. I mean, it's also like it's green and lush, alive. There's a sense of community with dance and music and expression, creative expression. Many things.